Thanks, Dana. Good morning, church. As Dana said, we are starting a new series today, One Another. It's all about a relationship. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15. We'll start in verse 12 and read through 17. John chapter 15, starting in verse 12, reading through 17. Please follow along while I read. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love one another. Pray with me. Father, when it comes to issues of interpersonal relationships, I know that those are often difficult for us to navigate. God, not everybody in this world is someone we would consider a friend. Our neighbors are not always people that we consider friends. Father, we know that love is what you call us to, and yet love is hard to show. And so, Father, as we explore this series, I pray that you would speak to us concerning how we need to act, who we need to be as your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have watched a trapeze performance? Anybody ever seen? Gone to the circus, you know, whatever? I think the circus came to, I want to say it was Fairport High School. I went and I saw them perform and do the trapeze thing. And if you haven't seen it in person, you've definitely seen it in a movie, no doubt, right? But it's breathtaking, right? These people swinging and flying and catching and, you know, all the danger, you know, we wonder at it and, you know, the timing and the effort that it takes. And we gasp when there's like a near miss or when one of them falls to the net below. You know, it's truly a spectacle for the world to see. You know, the church is not unlike that trapeze performance. In a way, the world should be able to look at the church and watch the church and say, wow, look at how they live. Look at how they love one another. Look at how well the husbands treat their wives. Look at how good they are as employees or neighbors. Right? There's no doubt that the world is watching the church. The question that I ask is, what does the world see? What does the world see when they look at the church? Do they see something awesome? Something unique? Something impressive? Something worth their time or their investment? Is there something being different being offered among its people? Or is it just more of the same? Verse 12, my command is this, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Last week, we finished our I Choose series, five choices that we make as followers of God that honor him. And Dana preached on, I choose love. I choose love as it does no harm. And I want to read to you the passage again and so that you can hear what God's word says about this idea of love. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If we go forward in the Bible a little bit to 1 John chapter 3, we hear John say these words starting in verse 16. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But here's where it gets good. He goes on to say, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with, who knows the next word? Actions. And in truth. Today we start a new series called One Another. The series is all about relationships, namely the relationships that we have with, go ahead, say it, one another, right? All right, and when we think about relationships, we most often think of them in simplistic terms. Do I know that person? Would I recognize their face if they walked into a room? Do I know their name? Right? We tend to think of our relationships in terms of interaction or context. Right? The more we see someone, the more in common we have, the more things that we do together, we think the closer our relationship is. We say things like, well, we go to church together, and we do sports together, we're in a small group together. But the sad reality is that I've been in small groups most of my life, and over the course of my life in ministry, I've come to find out that small groups don't always, just being in a small group doesn't always mean that I know well the people around me. They're often casual, surface, hardly intimate. Right? We gather together to grow in God's word and knowledge of Him, but the truth is that most of our gathering has very little to do with our knowledge of one another. And to be honest, some of this is my fault. Right, I withhold pieces of myself out of fear. Fear of being rejected, fear of being hurt, fear of being judged or condemned or punished in some way. Right, we withhold ourselves because the truth is we find safety in that. Right, if we're not vulnerable, if we're not exposed, I can control the narrative. We also withhold ourselves because it's easier for us. We say, that mess right there, and I don't want to wade out into that. So I'm not going to expose it. I'm just going to stuff it down inside. Guys, listen, God has a very different definition of relationship. And He has a very different desire for our relationships when it comes to our interacting and engaging with one another. One of the deepest desires of the human heart, and it's good because God put it there, is the desire to know and to be fully known. Now, ultimately, this begins with our relationship with God. Being a Christian, it means so much more than simply following God or being obedient to Him, although that is definitely a part of it. But it's also entering into this relationship with Him, where we are learning to know Him as He fully knows us. And the deeper the intimacy of that knowledge goes, the more our love for Him grows. And while that's sometimes an intimidating or an uncomfortable journey, part of the beauty of the gospel is that even as I am fully known, I also find myself fully loved by Him. Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And if you don't yet know the love of Christ, He offers that to you this morning. He invites you to put your faith, your trust, your love in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. He invites you to enter into a relationship with Him. He says, for it is by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not who you are. It's not the fact that you've cleaned yourself up, that you've become good enough where you can somehow earn my favor. He says it's not that. It's a gift. Because the truth is, God doesn't ask us to clean ourselves up. He says, come and I will wash you clean. So would you come to the Lord this morning? Would you trust Him for your salvation? Would you allow Him to wash you clean? You see, the truth is that despite my faults, and there are many, despite my brokenness, my selfishness, my shame, the ugly, the downright perverted parts of me, the Lord Jesus Christ stands with his arms wide open to us, saying, I still love you. I still want you. Let me enter into your reality with you and heal you. Church, it is the same mindset that the Lord desires us to have for one another. Ephesians 5:2, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so the question becomes, well, what example do we have to follow? Right? How do we truly walk in the way of love? How do we honor God by becoming a community which fosters deep, godly relationships with one another? I'm so glad you asked. During this series, we will dive into four aspects of relationships with one another: friendship, romance, intimacy, and affection. And we're going to discover how we, as God's people, can deepen our relationship to be a better model of his love. You looking forward to that? I am. All right? So today, we're talking about the friendship side of relationship, what it looks like to be a true friend. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than one who would lay down their life for one's friends. In all of our definitions and thoughts and understandings of the word love, God's word cements the greatest act of love in friendship. And in this passage, we can draw out five truths about friendship, five qualities of true friendship that should mark us as followers of Jesus. So here we go. You ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. You're not ready. All right, here we go. Quality number one, friends love one another. We're going to start there. Friends love one another. Verse 12 and 14. My command is this, love one another as I have loved you. That's the command. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. When we're talking about a relationship with Jesus, most Christians, don't dispute that Jesus should and does hold authority in our relationship with him. It's not him and us, it's him and us. Most Christians would agree with that when it comes to authority. Therefore, it's right for him to command us and for us to do. But when it comes to our interpersonal relationships, our relationships with one another, the same kind of authority doesn't exist. There are exceptions to the rule, for sure, but generally it would be inappropriate for me to say to my close friends or for me to say to the members of my small group, you are only my friends if you do what I command. That's inappropriate, right? Try that sometime and see how it works out for you, right? You see, when it comes to obedience, the issue of obedience, what we need to understand, even in Jesus' case, is that obedience is not what makes us a friend. Obedience is what characterizes us as a friend. Right? It's not do this and you will be my friend, but you act like this because you are my friend. I got an illustration for you. I've told this story before, so if you heard it, you know, just bear with me. In February of 2012, our house was robbed. Right? We came home from youth group on a Friday night and open the door and there's just our stuff everywhere and things were missing. And all of our communication that evening, my brother from another mother and friend, Matt Sharp, came over to the house just to be with us. And it's 10:30, 11, 11:30. I don't remember how late it was exactly, but he came. It was an act of love. Now, in that moment, that act of love was not super convenient for him. He had been at youth group with me. He had been at work all day. He was tired. It was late. Right? If he could have chosen the timing, it probably would not have been then. And yet, because he was my friend, he put my needs ahead of his own. He obeyed God's command to love in that moment, and he came. It's what characterized him as a friend. Loving is not convenient. The needs are not always small. But church, we are called to be obedient to the command to love one another. When we interact with one another, we should be asking ourselves this question: how can I best love you in this moment? How can I best love you in this moment? As needs arise, do we engage in the needs and the lives of those around us? If we can't do it with one another, church, how could we expect to do it with the world? Is your life characterized by obedience to God's command to love? Are you exemplifying true friendship? That's quality number one. Friends love one another. Quality number two is this: friends know one another's business. Friends know one another's business. More than that, they make known their own business. Verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Okay, finish this for me. This is easy. You guys got this one. You ready? Finish this phrase. Mind your own business. Right? How many people have said that at some point in their life? Right? I think all of us. Right? Mind your own business. We know how it goes. Actually, it's funny. I found this week, I was looking online or whatever, and I saw this picture or whatever and said, "Hey, I found your nose. It was in my business again." I almost made it my background, but. All right, guys, the truth is, with our emotions, our issues, our problems, we tend to think, you know, this is my life. This is my problem. I can fix it. I can handle it. I don't need help. I don't need input. Right? And this is especially true if, like, this thing is shameful to us, right? Or burdensome to others. We tend to keep it closed, right? We tend to keep it inside. It's my business, not yours. And yet, true friendship is one that knows the master's business. Everything learned has been made known. There's a depth of relationship there that freely offers up the hidden things. And you ask, but why would I do that? Why would I expose myself like that? Well, I have three verses for you. And hopefully by the end of them, you'll understand why. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Guys, there's healing that comes from being fully known. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. You see, a deeper bond is possible when people see your true self. True friendship, it can only come from openness. And the more you withhold, the less that a person knows you, which means the less that a person can love you. And then finally, Romans 1:11-12, where Paul says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be encouraged by one another's faith. Right? There's a strengthening and an encouragement that comes from being a friend. To see others and others to see you. All right, truth time. For the past several months, I've been emotionally distant. Numb is probably a better word. When that happens, it's hard to check into things. Fun activities don't seem quite as fun. All right, life just tends to kind of roll from one day into another. You ever experience that? You ever feel like that? Right. This past week, Becky and I took our night away that the church gave me for my 10 years. So thank you very much for that. It was very helpful to us. But during that time, we did kind of our annual checkup with one another, and that conversation exposed some very real hurt that I was dealing with, which kind of caught me by surprise. In fact, I told her, I can't deal with this now. I got to deal with it later. In many ways, I had been lying to myself. I've been lying to those closest to me, thinking that, you know, my problems were my business, and I could just stuff it down and to ignore it, and it would go away. But listen, guys, that's not healing. Right? What happened was this emotional numbness or disconnection. This past week, I opened myself to my wife and my small group that I was struggling with feelings of abandonment. And because of that, it had caused me to withdraw myself emotionally from community and from life. And you know what? I'm different now. By bringing those things out, there was healing in that. There was strengthening and encouragement. You see, friends love one another. Friends know one another's business. Quality number three, friends, they're intentionally chosen. Friends are intentionally chosen. Verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me. I chose you." Right? You've heard it said, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. That's true. Right? There's truth in that. The truth is that not all people are good friends. In fact, as I was preparing the message this week, I came to the realization, you know, the Lord always speaks to me first, right? And so as I'm preparing this message on friendship, the Lord's like, you know, and I'm like, I'm such a bad friend. I have a lot of work to do if I'm going to be a true friend, as the Lord desires me to be. Right? And I hope that you're feeling that call on your life as well to respond to this call of true friendship. Why? Guys, because the truth is people need true friends. People need true friends. Inside the church, outside the church, we're not made to go through life alone. More than that, we're supposed to be a body of people who genuinely care about the people around us. So my simple question to you this morning is, do you? Like, genuinely care. Do you? Do we? Are you the quality of a person that someone could choose who really bears the mark of being a true friend? Is that you? Because the sad reality, I think, is that people, even those inside the church, those people are few and far between. And as the church, guys, we have a higher calling than that. Right? We're supposed to be a people who love one another as Christ has loved us. And I'm not sure we are. At least I'm concerned that we, myself included, haven't been living that way. As followers of Jesus, we have to remember that not only are we commanded to live that way, but Jesus chose me and chose you to be that friend. You did not choose him. You didn't say, "Jesus, look at me, right? Look at what a good friend I am, right? And you better thank your dad because I'm choosing your team." That's not how it goes. Jesus says, I chose you. Right? Not because of who you are, but because I am appointing you to go and bear fruit. And that brings us to quality number four. Quality number four, friends interrupt life for the sake of one another. Friends interrupt life for the sake of one another. That phrase, appointed you, that's the phrase in Greek, etheka, or the word in Greek, etheka. Right? It literally means set them apart, set aside, to lay down. All right, now, in fact, I'm going to blow your mind right now. Anybody ready to be blown away by God's word? You ready? All right, come on. Three of us? Are you serious? Who is ready to be blown away by the word of God this morning? All right, here we go. All right, now I think we're kind of ready. Here we go. The same word, etheka, is used in verse 13, where it says, greater love has no one than this, to etheka one's life for one's friends. To lay down one's life, to set apart one's life, listen, for one's friends. It's the same word. And in verse 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and etheka, set you apart, laid you down for the sake of others. I chose you for this task. Guys, listen, true friendship is shown in someone's willingness to interrupt their own life in order to engage in someone else's. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Do you engage in the dirty, in the uncomfortable, in the inconvenient work of ministry? Do you allow the command and the lordship of Christ to interrupt your daily schedule and desires and plans? All right, guys, I think it's easy for us to answer this question. Right? Do you ever sacrifice anything for the sake of those around you? I think we can probably think back and be like, yeah, I remember that time, you know, where I sacrificed. I was a good friend. But I think a better question, a very different question is this morning. Do you live a lifestyle of sacrifice where you seek to meet the needs of those around you? That's a better question. All right, guys, I believe with all my heart that that's what God's church should be. Loving God and loving people. Dana talked about it last week. You can't have one without the other. And I think we can do a better job of loving people, which means that we can also do a better job of loving God. Friends love one another. Friends know one another's business. They are intentionally chosen. They interrupt life for the sake of one another. I'll close with this. Quality number five. Friends do the work that really matters. Friends do the work that really matters. I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That phrase, fruit that will last, that word there in the Greek is meno. It's used many times in John 15, but it's in a different context. See, John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You need to be connected to me. You need to meno. You need to abide in me. You need to remain there. I will remain in you. I will abide in you. Meno. Right? It's that relationship. But here, he turns that outward and he assigns the same quality of work to our relationships. Right? Do the meno work. Do the abiding work. The significant work. The work that actually means something. The work that impacts life in such a way that it carries with it weight and will be remembered. That's the work we're called to. That's the messy work. That's not the easy work. True friendship is one who lays themselves down in order to step into these moments. I guarantee you it won't be easy. You know it won't be easy. It's going to be messy, painful. And you know what? We might feel just unequipped by it for the task. Right? I don't know how to do that. I don't know how I'm going to make any difference there. But this is where God's word comes to life. Because right after that, Jesus says this. There's a promise that whatever we ask in his name, he will give it to us. Do we trust God to do that? That as we wade out into the unknown, into the things that are beyond us, where we don't really know where they're going to end and how we're going to be affected, do we trust God that he's going to give us what we need in those circumstances? As we pour out, he will pour in and he will equip us with everything we need to be a good, a true friend. This is the command, church. Love one another. Will we obey? Pray with me. God, in my own life and spirit, if I'm just honest, it's hard for me to love sometimes. God, as you've shown me, I have significant room to improve in this area of friendship. And God, I think the same is true for many of us. As Mauricio prayed earlier, God, we need to remember and know that being this type of person, that's only through the power of your Spirit. God, that's only being connected to you. But God, as your people, isn't that what we're called to? To be connected to you, to love you, to love our neighbor. And so, Father, here in these moments, as we look at this idea of friendship, as we ask ourselves, am I a true friend? I pray, God, that you would also meet us where we're lacking. And not with a condemnation, but with a camaraderie. That you will come alongside us, that you'll assure us of your presence, that as we wade out into the messy, you will equip your church for the good work so that we do not need to fear it. God, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's ready our hearts for communion.